It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this fifth day of November 2020. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we keep the Horn chat room tucked away. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. Well, just run on over and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers to said room. That would be Anatole and Cecilia and Lambelaine and Silent R. Lamar and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. He is capably assisted by his eager young assistant, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia, Stan, and good time will be had by all. This program, like every other program on the Horn, begins with gratitude. And so, consequently, thanks go out to our fifth day of the month subscribers. Yes, indeed. That means thanks to Lauren in the far frozen Canadian wilderness. Thanks to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to Bernice, Batty Boop. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you, James in Illinois. Thank you all very kindly. And getting us started, because we finished with a little bit of Yuki's challenge to go last night, thank you very kindly to Jeremy and Cecilia, who have reduced that number to only $15 to go. And I can happily announce that Yuki was kind enough to provide another challenge for this evening so that we don't have to raise the whole $300. That means that taking the $15 from last night plus 150, we got $165 to raise. And that's a lot easier than 300, isn't it? Thank you so much. Thank you so very much indeed to Yuki for the challenge. Thank you. It is greatly appreciated. So we are waiting. I had internet today. No meth heads or pill heads. Managed to cut Chantel's lines, 150 feet of it. And is there a market for recycled fiber optic cable? Or are these fools just idiots? Fools, idiots. Maybe I've answered my own question. Who thought that they were going to get some copper to take to the recycling center? Yeah. But that's anyway. I had internet today, so I've been able to follow the counting a lot better and a lot more closely. There is some talk that Pennsylvania thinks that they might get largely done this evening, but on the other hand, Nevada could be counting into next week, and there is a split of opinion. You know, the Associated Press called Arizona for Biden, and they're sticking to their guns, while CNN and NBC have not called it. This is an interesting split of opinion, because, well, AP doesn't get its money the way NBC and CNN do. They're not driven by advertising dollars. So you reckon there might be a vested interest in keeping eyeballs on screens in a capitalist electoral system? You think? A little bit? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And so we will get things, we'll get going, because there's plenty to go on this evening, and we'll likely continue. So hopefully we'll get started on the fundraising thing. $165. Thank you to Jeremy and Cecilia for getting us started. Silent R. Lamar says, I was listening to the radio show on the TV, and they had a doctor on talking about living with the virus. He said, we learned to live with HIV, and I said to myself, he's right. As a black man, I have to learn to live with crazy-ass white people and racist cops. P.S., if you're not a crazy-ass white person, we need more of you. And I'm still here and in good health. I must admit, living among these the crazy is hard and dangerous, because you have to let them get too close before running away. Like my grandfather used to say, boy, nobody knows how smart you are until you open your mouth. Well, thank you, thank you, Silent R. And I know it ain't easy living with the crazy, because those of us who aren't are living with a nation, 48% of whom apparently are. It's one of those they walk among us kind of situations. They appear to be normal. They appear to be okay. They appear to be fully functional. And next thing you know, they turn around and they start blabbing about the greatness of Donald Trump. And, well, you know, here in West Virginia, we have the greatest maggot governor of all time. I'm talking about make West Virginia great big governor, great big old governor Jim Justice. Who recently declared, now we had us a good, clean, fair election right here in West Virginia. How do I know that? Because Donald Trump won, and Shelley Moore done won, and Shelley Moore's nephew's going to be the new treasurer, and Republicans won all over the place. That's how I know it was a good, clean, fair election with no re-election fraudinism in it. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want you to think that we didn't have some fraud in other states, especially the ones that ain't got no Republican winners in it. I'm pretty sure there's voter fraud pretty much all over this here country. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today, in the universe, under God. No, he really did. Make West Virginia great big old governor Jim Justice said he's pretty sure there was some voter fraud in other states. Well, mail-in ballots. Bear in mind, of course, that we had a bunch of mail-in ballots here, too. I presume that Agnes and mine got counted. But, thank you very kindly as we go into the program this evening. Wait a minute. Okay. Getting ahead of myself here. And by that, I mean, well, Bob! Earlier this year, Jeffrey and I ran into a lovely lady from the lovely hamlet of Irwin, PA. And we did not know what to say. Jeffrey and I were speechless. Kind of expect Jeffrey to be speechless most of the time. Jeffrey and I were just leaving a very crowded gift shop, mind you. This was pre-corona. And Jeffrey, because he's so tall, being a giraffery and all, spotted a way to sneak around behind a register and exit the gift shop. And as we were sneaking out the gift shop, the one and only world-famous model, Miss Vicky, was trying to sneak in the same way that we were trying to sneak out. We almost literally ran right into each other. Jeffrey wanted to say hello, but, well, you know, Jeffrey was rendered speechless by this beauty. Jeffrey suggested that we take a picture with the lovely lady, and when we did, she said, "Look, that's my mom." To which I countered with, "Hey, look, this is my giraffe." Miss Vicky then laughed and took Jeffrey in her arm, and I took the phone to her mother. Jeffrey fell madly in love with this woman as he wanted her to take him home. "What's that, Giraffe?" Giraffe says, "Yes, it was love at first sight, and I will admit that I wanted to go home with her, but so did Joey, but he won't admit it." "No, no, no, Jeffrey, there's only one woman I want to go home with, and that's my wife, who often says that I'm a thorn in her side. Even though my wife does not appreciate Jeffrey at all and once threatened to leave me if I did not get rid of him, she said, it's either me or that damn giraffe." I looked at Jeffrey and said, "You know, we really are going to miss her when she's gone." Playing with fire, Joey, playing with fire. Jeffrey does have a point there, but as I tried to explain to him, Miss Vicky would not have any romantic interest in a giraffe. You see, because Miss Vicky likes elephants, and she and her family have a business in Northmoreland County, PA, with an elephant as the company logo. As her mother was fiddling with and trying to figure out my phone, I turned to the lovely Miss Vicky and said, "I can't believe you're actually going to take a picture with me and my giraffe. Didn't your mother ever warn you about guys with a big giraffe?" "Of course she did, but in your case, I don't think your giraffe is that big." That from the witty wonder, Miss Vicky, world-class model. Antisocialism Part 2 tomorrow, because this was Antisocialism Part 1. So please stay tuned along the Horn Head On Radio Network and go to headon.live at 5 o'clock Eastern and support the Bob Kincaid program. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 5th day of November, 2020, with Giraffery, the small giraffe with the big, loving heart. Aww. A giraffe's first school giraffe crush. How charming. Thank you. Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Giraffery. You know, Giraffery gets a little bit more real to me every day. I think maybe it's how Mr. Rogers felt about King Friday. Or what was the cat's name? Thomas? Was the cat named Thomas? I can't remember. Kyle says, "Bob, am I wrong to be sitting here worried about Republican state legislatures overriding the will of the people in their states that vote for Biden and sending electors to the Electoral College meeting to cast votes for Trump? And could that still steal it?" Well, it's interesting that you should ask, because that noted right-wing blatherhead, Mark Levin, who makes Gilbert Gottfried sound positively euphonious, was blathering something very nearly identical to that idea earlier today. All caps when he, and thank God he put it on Twitter instead of speaking it. My God. He is the man with the voice made for print. I got the face made for radio. He's got a voice made for print. "Reminder to the Republican state legislatures: you have the final say over the choosing of electors, not any board of elections, secretary of state, governor, or even court. You have the final say. Article 2 of the Fed Constitution. So get ready to do your constitutional duty." Yeah, he said duty. I'll try not to do that. That's worse than having to do Alex Jones. Similar, but not identical. So it is possible that state legislatures could pull a stunt like that. But it would create more chaos than it would alleviate. And over at the New York Times editorial board, Jesse Wegman wrote, this is going to be a little bit like Giraffe's voice. This is the millionaire media voice. All states give the choice of electors to the people directly. You can't change the rules after the game has been played. Only if a state has failed to make a choice can legislature take back the electors. A close margin is not a failure. But basically what Mike Levin was doing was echoing his God Emperor. Because earlier in the day, also with lots of capital letters, COVID Caligula screamed over the Twitter machine,
"I can easily win if we don't count the illegal votes."
Which weren't illegal. Not illegal at all. You know, he's the guy who fucked up the Postal Service. And so ballots that are arriving late, but were postmarked on or before Election Day, that's kind of his fault. I mean, plain and simple. I've been instructed by Brother Deacon Asa. By the way, that's make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice the Hutt to you, sir. Ooh, well played. Justice the Hutt. I like that. That's true. Steve reminds me that Fox News called Arizona as well when the AP did. And I suspect Fox News made that call because the AP made it. And that's when the maggots started chanting, "Fox News sucks! Fox News sucks!" Outside the counting facility. And the maggots, in case you were wondering, are still outside the counting facility. It's not particularly inspiring. But it was, I guess, at the very least, interesting. Christopher Mathias reported on Twitter, "The Stop the Steal demonstration in Harrisburg has devolved into a maggot karaoke session." And he wasn't kidding. I guess that's the sort of atonal death metal equivalent of a few years ago when they were walking around, back when Scott Brown was senator from Massachusetts, and the teabaggers were walking around with signs that said, "If Brown can't stop them, Browning can." And so they had their pre-printed signs. You know, I'm sure there was some sort of PAC money or Trump campaign money that went into printing them. People walking around with signs that said, "Stop the steal." Nothing's being stolen, of course. No, nothing at all. First date with an AK. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not like there were 500 people there. It was more like a dozen and a half cranks. And as Christopher Mathias reported, yeah, a karaoke machine. Ah, maggots. Can't live with them. Can't send them to the moon. Update out of Georgia. Steve lets us know that Georgia is down to, and this is Steve in New York, down to 9,500 vote Trump lead, and Pennsylvania's down to just over 90,000. That's 7,200 made up in PA in about 20 to 30 minutes. And remember, some Democratic officials in Pennsylvania, it was reported, had quietly informed the Joe Biden campaign that by the time all was said and done, he'd win Pennsylvania by some 100 to 200,000 votes because of the stuff that wasn't, you know, counted yet. And so, you know, that leaves Nevada. And the AP is sticking to its guns and saying, no, nah, our call wasn't wrong. It's still going to be, it's going to be nervous making, but at some point in time, you gotta wonder when somebody is going to go and deliver the news to Nitwit Nero that the game is, well, you know, up. Right. So, what do you bet that Trump will order his militias to stand down in order to negotiate a soft landing for himself, or am I getting ahead of myself, asks Randy Radar. It depends on who can get through his psychosis and his ego. If someone reminds him that he is still an unindicted co-conspirator in no less than two and possibly four federal felonies in the Southern District of New York, getting Mike Pence to give him that pardon might become a lot more appealing. Yeah. Flavio says, what were they karaokeing? I couldn't make it out over the air. Well, it wasn't easy to make out. And let's not say make out. It wasn't easy to understand at first blush or first listen. It was a shorn-headed maggot wearing a red MAGA shirt. And it was some sort of thrash, death, atonal, talentless music. And the song was called First Date with an AK. First Date with an AK! First Date with an AK! That does not qualify as singing on this program, so don't send me any emails about not singing. Although now I'll get emails about telling you to not send emails about not singing. Yeah. Billable Rick said, maggot karaoke in Philly. Can you tell me how many of the maggot karaoke singers weren't on meth? They sound horrible. Meth, Adderall,
maybe dexamethasone. That shit's fast. I love it.
And Flavio points out, while Trump's throwing a hissy fit, Biden is getting virtual briefings on the coronavirus pandemic and its economic fallout from panels of experts, sticking to a routine he's had since March, even as the outcome of the presidential race remains in doubt. Well, he's damned well going to be prepared when, if he gets declared the winner of this election. And it's a lot easier for him to get declared the winner than it is for Nitwit Nero. Multiple paths to victory for Biden. If Nevada just comes in, boom, done. Pennsylvania, if Pennsylvania comes in before Nevada, Nevada ceases to matter anymore. Whereas Nitwit Nero has to take everything he has, win where he's still leading, and pick off Nevada or Arizona. That is called a mess. Yeah. What'll be the odds, Megan asks, that once the results come in and Biden wins the presidency, Donald packs his bags and leaves the country for good? I don't see that. Because, among other things, he has to... He has to secure his own legal future. And he doesn't like the weather in Russia. He likes the warmth of Florida. That's why I said it was more likely that he would decamp to a place like the Philippines, or I don't know, maybe negotiate a Trump hotel deal in Brazil. Counting, Scott in San Diego says, I remember back in the 90s when Newt and the GOP took control of the House. In the run-up to that, he'd led the cheerleading squad to decry how liberals were promoting what he termed outcome-based education. What he and they failed to grasp is how that system also applied to math. For all their whining and complaining, that's actually happening here as the count proceeds. It's math, you know, adding up columns of numbers and awarding the state to the candidate whose final number is larger. America and advanced nations around the world have successfully been using this basic system for, well, you know, years. And Megan says, call me greedy, but after 4 years of Trump's tantrums, I want all the undeclared states to go for Biden. Does that make me petty? No, that makes you just like the rest of us. And more nerdiness for Pennsylvania. Steve in New York says, I just looked at the last two sets of figures for PA. The 7,200 decrease in Trump's margin came as a result of an additional 20,448 votes. In order for Joe to make up 7,200 votes with 20,448 votes total, Joe took 66.34% of those 2,448. By my calculation, Biden will win by 84,199 votes in Pennsylvania. That's big. Also big, Trey letting me know, it has been announced that, yes, David Perdue and John Ossoff will go to a runoff because David Perdue's total has fallen below 50.00001% of the tally, so he gets a runoff. Yeah. Which means that maybe John Ossoff gets a chance to hand him his ass again on statewide TV and remind people once again what a crook he is. And this time through, the Sparkle Pony candidate won't be there, who got something like nearly 2% of the vote. Yeah, that's the number. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. CBS reports 27 ways for Biden to win and 4 ways for Trump to win, with one way that's a tie. Chalk that one up to Trump. This assumes a 50-50 chance for each unpredicted state, which is not really true. 27 ways to beat Nitwit Nero. Just win in PA, Ray. Take Nevada, Atta. Nope, no singing. I'm just not. Kyle says, hey, did you know voting in an election is illegal? My favorite part of the maggot rally was when they all sang God Bless America, unironically, after Pam Bondi and Corey Lewandowski screamed about how counting votes in an election was un-American and a fraud and, you know, everything else. Everything else. Let's see. There is there was a moment of great journalism, and that's not irony, and that's not sarcasm. Oh, by the way, Suman lets us know that in Georgia, Geezer Disgustus's lead is now less than 10,000. Bob, I told my wife that I will make her the most delicious biryani if Georgia turns blue. Well, for her sake. And for the sake of those of us who live vicariously by other people's food porn, that's another reason for me to hope that Joe Biden does manage to turn Georgia blue. Is it possible? Because, I mean, when they're counting the ballots, they're counting the whole ballot at a time, right? So if there's X number of ballots remaining, that's just not X number of ballots that haven't been counted for the presidency. Is it possible that if Joe Biden turns Georgia blue, that he might have had enough coattails to bring John Ossoff along with him and get over that 50.00001% mark? Is that possible? Could that happen? Would COVID Caligula have a fucking stroke if it did? Yeah, these have been several days of stoking the stroke, I'm afraid. But like I said, out in Arizona, there was a moment of real journalism, and Jacob Soboroff at MSNBC and NBC strikes me as being a damn good reporter. He's done great work regarding the kidnapped children in cages in the concentration camps, the children who were stolen from their parents, and among other things, we can't find their parents now, even though the ACLU is doing the looking. James in Illinois says, yeah, one more chance. Purdue can remind Georgians that Ossoff is a Jew. Yeah, because that card got played particularly egregiously. But Jacob Soboroff has done great work, and he's apparently not afraid to actually be a reporter. So out in Arizona, Rick Grinnell, who used to be the ambassador to Germany, is the former acting director of national intelligence, showed up to make false claims that that Arizona officials were hiding thousands of ballots. Or that there were thousands of votes cast illegitimately in Arizona. And Richard Grinnell thinks himself quite the intelligent fellow, but it didn't work out too well. Because Jacob Soboroff really did journalism.
Hi, come with me, come with me. This is the Trump campaign press conference. Oops, sorry, kids. Come this way. Hey, Rick Grinnell, we're live on MSNBC right now. Can you talk about the evidence? You are claiming thousands of illegitimate votes here in Nevada. What's the evidence?
You should go in and ask the question of the clerk.
No.
Which you haven't
done
yet.
You guys just made the claim. No, in fact, you also said there's no election observers. There's Democratic and Republican election observers inside, Mr. Grinnell. Former DNI Grinnell, acting DNI. Where's the evidence of the fraud? You haven't presented any evidence of fraud.
Evidence.
They've presented no evidence of fraud, Craig. So we're live on MSNBC. You've said thousands of illegitimate ballots. Thousands of illegitimate ballots. Where are they? Where's the Matt Schlapp? Where are the illegitimate ballots? Where are the illegitimate ballots?
Fox News sucks.
So thousands of illegitimate ballots and what they're alleging. They've presented literally no evidence of that, and they're saying go to the county here to ask them of that. We know for a fact there are Democratic and Republican election observers inside. Careful behind you there. And the reality is, Craig, what they have said here is supported by virtually no facts. From what we have seen on the ground here inside this facility, there is observation happening. I spoke to an election observer this morning, and they have now said they are filing in federal court a lawsuit to stop counting of ballots. They didn't say all ballots. They said stop the counting of improper ballots. So at the end of the day, we're going to need to see, as a matter of fact, what the language in that lawsuit says. They had the former attorney general of this state, Laxalt, out here as well. And you just saw former acting DNI Grinnell, Matt Schlapp, very familiar names out here in Nevada and across the country. But again, presented without evidence, allegations of fraud here on the ground in Nevada as the count continues inside. And the vote margin is 8,000 votes at this point when we expect a new dump of votes in just a little bit.
That was early this morning, I'm sorry, not Arizona, Nevada. So that was about 10 minutes till noon Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. And the best part of that whole clip, Jacob Soboroff is, of course, with MSNBC. But the maggot behind him apparently doesn't watch enough to realize that he wasn't with Fox News. So I'm sure MSNBC was more than happy to run his background voice screaming, Fox News sucks. Fox News sucks. Fox News sucks. In a way, though, he reminded me of one of the law. Jacob Soboroff reminded me of one of the defense team members for O.J. Simpson way back in the 90s when he had what was it? Mr. Fung, Dennis Fung, and he was grilling him, cross-examining about some piece of evidence, and he kept saying, "Where is it, Mr. Fung? Where is it, Mr. Fung?" Well, that's kind of what Jacob Soboroff was. Where is it? Where are these bad ballots? Because it's illegitimate ballots are the complaint in Nevada. On the other hand, in Arizona, it's those mean Arizona election officials gave us poor maggots Sharpies, and Sharpies bleed through ballots, and they ruined our ballots, and they're not getting counted. And that lasted for about a nanosecond before somebody said, no, actually, the Sharpies are on the approved list of things to mark your ballot with, dumbass. At this point, they're flinging poo from inside the monkey house. Arthur says, evidence? Evidence is French and gay. Egghead elitists. You know who liked evidence? Obama. Yeah, I know. If or when Georgia or any other state is called for Biden, my family, neighbors, and pets will probably never be sleeping again. So sorry to tell all in the advance. And yeah, Kyle caught it too. The guy in the background screaming about how other networks he's not from suck. Also, good job, Mr. Soboroff, for continuing to ask questions and actually call them liars to their faces. Because what you couldn't see, because this is radio, is that he caught up with Richard Grinnell and started asking him the questions, and Richard Grinnell just kept walking faster and faster and faster. Essentially, Jacob Soboroff chased the maggots into a van where they could, hide. Yeah. And this from Kenneth in Portland. Back in 2016, it was generally accepted that one of the reasons Tangerine Palpatine won was because Hillary was such a terrible campaigner and she had a shit ton of baggage. One can argue about that forever. But after seeing the amount of popular votes Trader Don received this year, close to 70 million, far more than 2016, can we just admit this country is full of racist, ignorant, hateful, un-American, vile motherfuckers? It's not a coincidence he won in 2016 and did even better this time. We know the real reasons now, don't we? I swear to fucking God we've learned nothing from the Civil War. We're still fighting the same goddamn war 155 years later. I admired Hillary then, and I do now. Did she make mistakes? Absolutely. But to blame his election completely on her is flat-out lie and a delusion. And 2020 proves it. Moreover, anybody who voted for Trump a few days ago is complicit. They know what he is. They don't give a fuck. Simple as that. Pandemic be damned. The media won't tell you this and never will because ratings, because clicks, but the maggots out there are just as much to blame for the mess we're in as him. No mercy for them and no apologies from me. They installed a traitorous, fascistic psychopath, and we've been dealing with the fallout for 4 years, and it will reverberate for years to come. Decades. Maybe the century. So fuck them all to hell. Post-racial my ass. Remember, without them voting for him, there's no him in the White House. Kent Brockman from The Simpsons said it best. Democracy simply doesn't work. Well, we shall see anyway. Thanks as always. Well, Kenneth, so much of what you say is so true. But Hillary did win the popular vote by more than 3 million votes. And who knows what the popular vote will reveal this time through. And yeah, she was nowhere near the campaigner that Bill Clinton was, because Bill loved that process. He loved getting out and, probably the wrong term to use talking about Bill Clinton, pressing the flesh. And that somehow or another, she just never quite managed that. But yeah, 155 years later, and the Civil War, all of that, right? Because the one thing that you can't get the multimillionaires of the for-profit media to say much is that, as I noted the other night, in a nation where we are finally having a long overdue reckoning about putting up monuments to traitors, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, the Virginia Military Institute recently declared that they would take down the monument to Stonewall Jackson, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, for obvious reasons. But the single greatest monument to slavery and to the men who perpetuated it over the course of centuries, I mean, what, 245 years? And from 1787, 73 years as an actual country, or under the Constitution, I should say. Well, 87 years if you go to from July 4th, 1776, four score and 7 years ago. But the single greatest monument to slavery and the people who perpetuated it is the Electoral College. Plain and simple. It was put into the Constitution in part at the behest of a bunch of slave owners who wanted some way to preserve their power at the expense of the rest of the young country. And one of the greatest mistakes, you know, Kenneth mentioned decades worth of damage. One of the greatest mistakes we make is if we get the presidency, and even if we get a 50-50 tie in the Senate, Kamala Harris will be able to make sure, as long as Joe Manchin votes like a Democrat, be able to make sure that chinless Mitch McConnell won't exercise power, and that means we can start passing bills. Now, it's up to the several states to adopt the interstate compact idea with regard to the popular vote. And that'll wind up in the courts, and it wouldn't surprise me if that gang of maggots on the Supreme Court didn't invalidate that. So ultimately, it'll have to be a constitutional amendment. We will miss, we'll just plain screw up if we don't take dead aim at the Electoral College and act on the idea of that 25th Amendment Presidential Fitness Commission. Those two things simply have to be done, or else somewhere down the road it'll get stolen again, because this country isn't going to depolarize anytime soon. And once again, we are faced in these days since the election with the reality of what a toxic, noisy minority can do to a country. You know, it was just a noisy little minority, barely a plurality, that forced the great mistake of prohibition on this country when nobody wanted it. Nobody except the temperance people wanted it. And the country suffered, and the streets ran red with blood from mob battles over importing booze. These things have to be fixed. They simply have to be fixed. Let's see. Steve in New York lets us know John Ossoff is behind by 107,000. It's narrowed, as you suggested, but I don't see him making that up. Well, then he lives to fight another day as David Perdue stays under or at 50.0 or under, and he doesn't go into the Senate. So at the very least, remember, those were two Republican seats. And until the Georgia runoff, that means that there are that the Republican majority, even when the new Congress starts, the Republican majority is down two. And what that means, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Ron in Raleigh says, my family lived there for 30 years. Everybody does it. Is it Nevada or Nevada? According to Time, don't call it Nevada. Apparently the only acceptable pronunciation is Nevada. I was told the same about Colorado and not Colorado. So I guess I've been trying to say Nevada, but every now and then I screw up and say Nevada. And yeah, you're right. You're right, Ron. Everybody does it. What's worse than a racist? James in Illinois asks these fucking nihilists who voted for carcass whore alias just for the tax cuts. Carcass whore alias. Ah. Fuck kids in cages. Fuck back alley abortions. Fuck union busting. Fuck pollution. It was the South that seceded, but New York was full of capitalist businessmen who were happy to take embargoed cotton for their mills because money. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There was plenty of blame to go around. Most of it landed in the South. And just because this is too interesting not to, we had some sort of death metal rap earlier, you know, first date with an AK. Well, Nitwit Nero's spiritual advisor is Paula White. And just, damn. Wow. She led a prayer service. No, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday. But she led a prayer service election night. And it is going all over creation. Because apparently it's one for the ages. I mean, really, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs material. I got to see if I can get the audio going here. Because this is one of those you don't just describe. You've either got it or you don't. Let's try this again. And I love the way that, as if it was a cabinet position, she's listed as Trump's spiritual advisor. There she is. I don't know. I don't know what you got to get into to do this. Because just, wow. Here we go.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear.
Now this is not, this audio has not been manipulated.
It is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven.
Yeah, okay. Didn't take long till a lot of people started having a lot of fun with this.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of
There are so many. Yeah, that just had to happen.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and
yeah. And then the Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg at it.
Can't keep it home a lot, cause when I frequent the spots that I'm known to rock, you hear the bass from the truck when I'm on the block. Ladies, they pay homage, but haters say
strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be.
Oh, my God. It just goes on and on. Oh. What the fuck are these people? Among other things, she called for international people to come to the United States and stop the vote count. She was dog whistling for an invasion of the United States. And my favorite line, angels have been dispatched from Africa.
The angels are being dispatched from Africa right now.
I'm looking for the one where that's got Toto overlay overdubbed on it. Yeah, these people are not okay, not okay at all. And it's worth noting that on a day when El Paso, Texas, reported more than 3,000 new COVID-19 cases. One day, which surpassed the record by more than 1,000, also reported were 21,900 active cases, 8 more deaths. And so I have to include that just for the little lurking right-wing turds who hang out on the periphery of this program so that they can know that, in fact, Nitwit Nero lied about that, too. It didn't go away after Election Day. No. But somebody did. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. In particular, it was an End Times preacher. And he had previously gone on Jim Baker's grift to explain where COVID came from. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is no mention of no mention of bats or rats or aardvarks or elephants or pangolins. No. This is, and Trump-loving pastor, usually that's Paula White, but no, this isn't Paula White. This is Irvin Baxter. Or perhaps I should say, this was Irvin Baxter. You're beginning to get the idea, right? Yeah. So, yeah, a while back, it was months ago, back when Jim Baker was hustling the Pandemic Bundle, Satan's End Time Plan Revealed DVD, Great Influenza Book. This might have been about the same time that he was hustling a Silver Solutions Cure. But they found time to get 75-year-old Irvin Baxter on the Baker program. And he has profound skills.
I was thinking as I was putting all this together in my mind about the sin of fornication. And I thought about the term fornication. I did a little research. There are 7.5 million unmarried couples living together in the United States. This is not worldwide, just in America. 7.5 million couples, that means 15 million people that are living together unmarried. And that's increased over the last 10 years by 138%.
Now, while he's sitting there doing his cipherins and his gazettas, what we'd like to know, so 7.5 million unmarried couples, that's 15 million Americans. Do any of those include Nitwit Nero and Paula White? Or Nitwit Nero and that other Playboy model? You know, the ones that were paid to hush up and whose stories the National Enquirer and David Pecker quashed? No word on that.
Now, in addition to that, I hope this research is not correct, but I got it straight from the encyclopedia. It says that 5% of new brides in America now are virgins. That means 95% have already committed fornication. Now, God says, all do not be deceived. God is not mocked. No fornicator, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor extortioner, nor drunkard. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. If we think we can just ignore God.
Now, I know he's 75 and everything, but does anybody here think, well, I mean, I'm looking at a photograph. Maybe he was. I was going to say, does anybody actually believe that Irvin Baxter was a virgin when he got married? Oh, but wait, he only addressed himself to the women who weren't virgins. So maybe that makes a difference.
And live a sinful lifestyle. Well, we cannot do it. And, you know, I believe what you're saying, that God may be using this as a wake-up call. This coronavirus may be a privilege, because I'll tell you right now, there's a much bigger judgment coming. It's in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, Irvin Baxter got his privilege. Now, I don't know if he was out there committing adultery or fornication or whatever. I don't know, but last week he went into the hospital with complications from COVID-19. And then with deep grief, Tuesday, his ministry, the End Times Ministry, said, "Though we find comfort in knowing that he has without a doubt entered his great reward," here's your pineapple, Irvin. Irvin was hospitalized last week with COVID-19. Since then, a vast network of churches and ministries have been in almost constant prayer for him. The team at End Time wants you to know that we appreciate your prayers and support through this season, and that Pastor Irvin Baxter has, in fact, reached his end time, because your prayers didn't work. That or else God caught him fornicating or something. We're not entirely sure. Yeah. Well, maybe if he'd spent a little more time paying attention to the goddess of irony, he might still be with us. Right. Oh, and it turns out we've got yet another Paula Mix remix, or Paula White remix. Here we go.
Until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God, victory, God, victory, God. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God, victory, God, victory, God. The Lord says it is done. 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 The Lord says it is done.
Yeah, bless the angels down in Africa, sure, whatever. Matt, by the way, in San Francisco says, I 100% agree with Kenneth. I've been watching the returns for the last couple of days, the prominent feeling being sadness. Usually I'm fairly cognizant of my living in the liberal bubble of San Francisco, and I guess over the past 4 years I just thought, there's no way in hell anyone can be watching this man, any way people can be watching this man and his clan and arrive at election day and vote for more years of this. I'm truly saddened at the number of my fellow citizens that signed on for 4 more years of this insanity. I guess I've been a hopeless liberal since my earliest memory of protesting the Vietnam War with my mom when I was 5 years old. It saddens me that it looks like this fight is never ending, and my hope that we could cross over the tipping point in my lifetime was just wishful thinking. No matter who wins at this point, the next 4 years are guaranteed to be an exercise in circle jerkism. And Matt, I'm afraid you're right, because, among other things, Chinless Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch, has already signaled that he will not let Joe Biden be president of the United States. Or that if he does become president of the United States, he won't let Joe Biden do presidenty things, like appoint cabinet secretaries.
And we ain't going to have none of them there. Radical progressive liberals, not as long as I'm a drawing my reptilian breath right here in the Senate over the new United States of America.
No. We've already been told what the future is going to look like if we don't figure out a way to get it to at least 50-50 so that Kamala Harris can make him cry every day. Oh, wait, we're 50-50? Is that it? We're 50-50? The senior senator from... I'm president of the Senate. I'm Kamala Harris. And the senior senator from Kentucky will sit down and shut the fuck up. 51! You lose! You don't get a car! A guy can dream, right? Kyle says, I've heard that 5 or 6 times, and it gets funnier and more insane every time. How do people take that seriously? The Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg edit, LOL. Oh, and I guess Nitwit Nero is going to have a shit show at 6:30. Maybe we'll check in on it. Kyle observing, the Christians are obsessed with pee-pees. Who has the right to right one to go to the bathroom with? To marry a certain other person, how they use it. They're like two to three-year-olds who just discovered they have one. Jesus Christ. Oh, they don't even think he had one. Angels from Africa? That Paula White was blathering about. Ron and Raleigh wants to know, are those shithole angels? Asking for an ecclesiastical friend. I think I get your meaning. Hey, I think we got Tracy there as we enter the second hour of the program. Remember, we got 165 bucks to go to finish Yuki's challenge from last night and tonight. Yuki has been kind enough to cut in half the fundraising goal if other people will step up and match her half. So that challenge is on the table. The day after election challenge, or maybe it's the, maybe it's Yuki's, the election is still, well, kind of what it is on the table. Is that you, Tracy? Hello?
Yes, it's me.
Ah, there it is.
Can
okay.
you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Yes, it's me. I've been home. My wife just came in here and asked me, what am I doing? I'm still in my bathrobe and in my pajamas.
You know, I have some great news. I got home this afternoon from running errands, and Agnes presented me with a gift. I have a fluffy new bathrobe.
Ooh, what color?
Purple.
Nice.
With a hood.
Ooh.
Yeah, because see, when your head's wet, you know, you pull the hood up, and it's so you can even kind of dry your hair with it.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm stoked.
No, I've been in the same pajamas that I've been in since Tuesday night. Yeah, that part. and I actually put on a robe this morning because I got chilly when I was in class. So I'm just, you know.
You really are a college student. You went to class in your bathrobe.
Yes.
And your jammies.
I went to class in my bathrobe and in my pajamas. Exactly.
Can your sorority bid be far away?
No. And actually, my dream is to pledge the graduate chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. So, because I always wanted to be a Delta, so that part. And I actually already have somebody that will sponsor me. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
But so I was listening to you, and when that fool was talking about virgins and adulterers, I'm like, wait, motherfucker, wasn't Jim Baker admitted publicly to being an adulterer?
Not just Jim Baker, but Jimmy Swaggart. Remember, I have sinned against you. Yeah. And of course, in more recent history, we have Cucky Jerry.
Yeah. Oh my God, I keep forgetting.
And Becca.
Wait a minute, hold up. My wife read the Michael Cohen's book, and you know he dishes on those two.
No.
In his book.
No.
He's. Oh shit! I just laughed. So that's the first time I've laughed all day.
Yeah, us.
But he was saying how there was the pictures. I guess they got a new truck, and there's pictures of Becca in various state of undressed.
Undressed.
Various states of undressed. Fornicating with the truck, y'all.
Wait. With?
You heard the truck on the just doing various acts of fornication on the truck.
Beckeye was humping the truck?
That part.
Oh dear. God, these Christians.
These Christians. And it you know, and what you were saying earlier gave me hope because I've been very despondent about the Senate.
But then I remember, and it's so funny that you were talking about this, because I'm like, wait a minute. If Joe Biden, I'm going to say when Joe Biden becomes president, Ms. Kamala Harris is the president of the Senate. And if there's ever a tie, guess who's going to make the decision? Oh, my Jesus. So maybe there is still hope. I mean, because we still have what's going on in Arizona. We still have the two in Georgia because they're going into a runoff. And still, North Carolina still hasn't been called either for the Senate race.
No. But the Democrat is behind fairly significantly.
I know. Bob, give me, look, I'm trying.
I know.
I'm trying not to take my whole bottle of Xanax. Can you help assist that?
Do not chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I'm a step away from snorting the motherfuckers. I'm telling you.
Well, and Jude in the Great Northwest says, Tracy, dear, I'm still in my night clothes, too. So you got company. Oh, and I mentioned the purple bathrobe. Yes. Our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael was right on top of that one. Does it have moons and stars? We're working on them. We're working on them.
Does it replace your ragged wizards?
Yeah, we're going to put the moon. We're going to put the moons and stars on it, and we're going to get glow in the dark paint and write "Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby" across the yes, absolutely.
No, I've come to you know how I was told you guys that I was going to graduate next May, but I decided that would be too much because that would mean 18 units, and I'm like, no,
mm-mm.
I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm not.
No, that's like volunteering for a beating.
Right, and I'm actually dropping one of my classes because it was just becoming, I was spreading myself too thin, so. Next semester, we'll only be taking 12 units, which means I won't be graduating until 2022, but that's okay. Because I'll have a wonderful GPA.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. And, and the problem with me being, and that's what happens with me being bipolar. I have the tendency to take on too much. And then when that happens, nothing gets done. And so I'm not going to do that to myself. These are those things that you learn to take when you're learning how with self-care and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, no, I'm not gonna make myself crazy because it's there's enough going on in this country right now that makes me crazy, and to put undue stress on myself. It's just madness. That's the very definition of insanity. So, yeah, no. But wouldn't it be a beautiful thing that the Senate was split 50-50 and Kamala, that would just be, without trying not to be vulgar, but that would be the biggest, wettest dream I can ever imagine having. Yeah, I said it.
I don't, and I take no issue with that. Brother Deacon Asa, with what you were talking about with Beckeye, said that Beckeye can suck the chrome off that truck's tow hitch, right? Through a 50-foot garden hose, apparently. But we're not being misogynist here. We're merely pointing out the hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I'm taking my joy where I can, because out here in California, Uber and Lyft managed to buy their way into a law.
I wonder how did that turn out?
It passed. Proposition 22 passed.
So they get to continue. So you're not an employee if you drive for Uber or Lyft.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Jesus.
So
what about the other propositions?
Wasn't
there one that was going to roll back Proposition 13 or something?
That was
15, and I think that might have passed, but the one that was going to roll back 209 for affirmative action got taken out. This is the problem when you live in a state with referendums, because it's not.
But you're not exactly the communist wonderland that California's portrayed to be, are you?
God, no.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, it isn't, because if it were, then Prop 22 wouldn't have passed. Prop 16 would have passed. There is a ray of hope, sunshine, that our L.A. County Board of Supervisors would be probably more than likely all female.
Well, that is indeed that's encouraging.
It is very encouraging, especially since the majority of the women on the Board of Supervisors are Democrats. So there's that. Because they have the oversight for the sheriff's department. So there could be some changes in that, because they were actually calling for our current sheriff to step down. And so now that if it's all females, that might actually happen. They might just out and out, get rid of his ass. So Proposition J passed here in LA County, which takes money from, is part of the fund, the police. So it takes 10% of the money that is used for the sheriff's department and policing and putting it back into social programs and stuff like that. That did pass.
That's a step forward. And Randy in PA just reminded me, Florida passed a $15 minimum wage.
Right. And so what I've been listening to and what I've been hearing is the reason why, because Democrats, these centrist, middle-of-the-road Democrats, the more progressive things are, the more things pass. I mean, fuck, you got weed passing in Montana? Was it Montana?
Yeah, Montana going to get high.
Montana going to get high. And like you said, they just passed a $15 an hour minimum wage in Florida. So people do want change. And if we had to have some Democrats that weren't, like I said, corporate, middle of the road, centrist, don't want to ruffle any feathers, Democrats, we might have won more seats in the House, and we might have actually gotten got the Senate. Nothing could be incremental. I know this is how our politics work. But we don't have the time for incremental. It's again.
Well, I mean, there's no one way, and you might disagree. There's no one way to get to win an election in this country, because there's no one. We are not one country. Way back when Ken Burns was made the Civil War documentary, with the cheesy violin music and everything. The remark was made, and I think it was taken from Shelby Foote's book, that before the Civil War, people would say the United States are, plural. But after the Civil War, it became the United States is.
Wow.
Well, I don't think we're the United States is anymore.
No.
Because, for instance, I think this is a good example, even though it's Talibama. They managed to have a senator who by no means was, a liberal on a par with, say, Sherrod Brown of Ohio. But Doug Jones and part of his claim to fame was that he had prosecuted and convicted the filthy white supremacists who blew up the 13th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham in 1963. And he lost.
Really? And he lost.
He lost, even though he was, you know, a decent human being and not some wild-eyed progressive. And he lost to a guy who got busted running, for all intents and purposes, a Ponzi scheme masquerading as a hedge fund. The former football coach of the Auburn University Tigers, Tommy Tuberville, who wasn't even from there. Doug Jones, born and bred, lived, raised, Alabama. Tommy Tuberville, not so much. But that grifty fucker is going to be sworn in as the junior senator from the state of Alabama. And unless he gets caught creepering on Santa's little helper at the Gadsden Mall, he will probably be a senator from the state of Alabama for as long as he chooses to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I witnessed it here. We ran a candidate for Senate against Shelley Moore Capito, who got thumped by more than 30 percentage points. I mean, Shelley Moore Capito won with like 60-some-odd percent of the vote.
Wow.
And yet, and she was endorsed by Bernie Sanders. And remember all those articles back in 2016, Tracy, about how West Virginia was turning blue because Bernie Sanders done won the primary and beat Hillary Clinton. And the number of people who were unwilling to take into account the fact that Donald Trump told people to go vote for Bernie in the Democratic primary. And they did. And Trump won by more in West Virginia this time than he did over Hillary Clinton. Now, how are we? How do you explain progressive politics to people here, or in Wyoming, or Alabama? And bear in mind the two Democrats who are running in Georgia, who will be in the runoff there, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. One white, one black. Neither one of them are running as bold progressives because they'd lose by 40 points right. If they did.
Which is ridiculous.
And like I said last night, you could take AOC and you could not get her elected in any congressional district in Alabama. And so it becomes the larger question of what's wrong with people there. And what is it? I mean, and I'm trying to just figure out some check boxes, Tracy. What if, and I know it's unthinkable, what if a protege of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez arose in West Virginia and said, I want everybody to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. I want people to have relief during this pandemic, and I don't support abortion.
Oh, God.
And I'm pro-guns. And that is an ugly thing to contemplate.
That's ugly.
Once upon a time in this state, before 2018, once upon a time in this state, a poor woman on Medicaid could get an abortion because the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia had ruled that to not use Medicaid funds to provide abortions for poor women who wanted them amounted to discrimination against them. And not anymore. Not anymore. If you're poor, you're pregnant, and you can't afford to be pregnant, and you can't afford the abortion, you got troubles. And you got to hope there's some sort of other kind of financial help available to you.
Another reason why I can't even fathom, I mean, my childbearing days are long gone, but well, actually not really, because my last exam, my doctor told me, you have the uterus of a 20-year-old. I'm like, I don't give a fuck how old my uterus is. There will be nothing else in it.
It is going to be a barren and rocky place.
Exactly. But when I needed to have an abortion and I didn't have insurance, it didn't matter.
Right, you'd be covered.
I live in California.
Right, because civilized state. It's 5 minutes before Nitwit Nero is scheduled at 4 minutes. And I've got a query from Steve from Georgistan. Put on the robe, put on the tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqued moons and stars and "Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark, Baby" written in glow in the dark ink across the front. And please tell us what this orange bastard is going to say at 6:30. He's going to say that he's suing and that there are tons and tons of illegal votes and that he's already won the election. Once we get rid of all the illegal votes, and that Pennsylvania has to stop counting right now, and so does Georgia, because the only votes left are black people's votes, and well, that's why we got to stop. So that's my prediction, and Steve from Georgistan followed it up and said, if you attempt it before Orange goes on, I'll double it if you nail it. Okay, so I've done my best with a prognostication in order to get us down to 145. 145 on Yuki's challenge. So here in a sec, let's see. And by the way, Jude says, let Tracy enjoy. Tracy, I sense your comfortable balance. Good work, sister, and especially with all that's on your plate, be well.
Thank you, Jude.
Jude is such an angelic soul.
She's a real angel, not these angels from
Africa. Yeah, not the angels from Africa that are coming to stop the vote count.
Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, and by the way, you're the one who brought up Beckeye. Ron in Raleigh says, as Alexander O'Neill said in his song back in the day, she's a freak, baby. And as Frank Zappa wrote, was she buns up kneeling? I'm asking for a sexually adventurous friend. That's Dynamo Hum. She was, let me see if I can haul out my old Frank Zappa impression. She was buns up kneeling. I was wheeling and dealing, and that's as much of that as I'm going to Dynamo Hum. Oh, and by the way, apparently the Secretary of Defense may be on his way out the door. I've seen that several times.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
He's written a letter of resignation. He's like, I can't with these people.
And as to what I said, about, somebody who had all of the progressive values, but said, and I love me some guns and we ain't going to have no abortions. Kyle said, well, that person would get 100% of the vote in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just go in and lie.
And lie.
Flavio says, advice to Tracy. My first semester in college, I had 16 credits and had to pull out of a class. My grades suffered. I did best, all A's and B's, by taking just 12 credits per semester. It took longer, but I did better. Mm-hmm. I made the dean's list two or three times. So keep that in mind. Hang in there, Tracy, says Dave in the blind. Things have been pretty deep. You got to hang on. Things have been pretty deep and dark for me, too. I'm recovering from my second bottle of me yesterday. I guess it's a throwback to some of my Nordic heritage, but I haven't wanted to raid any farms or anything like that in about 6 hours. It'll get better. Do not snort the Xanax, your buddy Dave, in the blind. And weed, Randy reminds us, weed passed in New Jersey. And the vote tally, or the vote difference between Trump and Biden has fallen under 80,000 in Pennsylvania. That from Dave number 11. The suspense. Is he talking yet? Let's see here. I'm checking. We got to get the C-SPAN ad first. Nah, he's late. He's always late. But I'm sure that the QAnon rooms on Facebook are smoking hot right now with speculation that he's gonna call his followers into the streets. Ugh. Well, when and if he wanders out, you know, we'll go to it. Even though I'll get hate mail, turn it off, Bob. Turn it off. But again, we're kind of creating a historical record here. It is historical, not hysterical, isn't it, Tracy?
I'm trying not to be hysterical.
Oh, and
I mean, like I said on election day, I drank. Because I can drink. It takes a lot of alcohol to get me drunk. I mean, and not that, you know, Malibu rum has a high alcohol count by any shape, form, or fashion. But when
yes.
But when you put in like five shots of Malibu rum, and you take a Xanax, and I did that twice, and I was not moved at all. I'm like, fuck, my tolerance is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was thinking the other night, talking about Malibu rum. Malibu rum, white creme de cacao, amaretto, and milk or cream, shaken over ice, and call it an almond joy.
Nice.
That'd probably make the top come right off of your skull. Oh, I know you probably saw it and mentioned it, but I woke up to some shocking news this morning, and that was that black
men gave more support behind Trump than ever.
Oh no, I was already coping with that. No, I woke up and apparently sometime after 6 o'clock this morning, my beloved Secret Sandwich Society burned.
Oh, that is so sad.
But I saw a post from my buddy Lewis earlier today. He said they were fully insured for everything, had business interruption insurance, the building was insured, they'd rebuild and be back bigger and better and more secret sandwichy than ever. But, Kelly sent me the picture and says, Bob, have you seen this? What's going on? And it was just this horrifying photo of the top part of Secret Sandwich Society with flames shooting out the gable ends. It was awful. So, among other things, while Lewis and the staff there are dealing with what a horror it is, I'm going to be, and all of us are going to be for a while now, and I know this doesn't mean anything to you, are going to be missing the best pimento cheese in West Virginia. No, but it's not like the pimento cheese. It's not like the pimento cheese spread you buy in the grocery store. They keep it warm, and it's kind of thinnish, and it's the best thing you ever had on fries, because it just turns them into these wonderful creamy French fries.
When I finally make it out to West Virginia, I will have, you know, you guys got me on mayonnaise. I mean, I have, you know, put mayonnaise on sandwiches. Shut up. But I don't know. It's going to take some things about the pimento cheese, Bob.
Well, we'll get you the fries, and we'll get you some pimento cheese on the side, and you can just dip one little fry into it and see if it isn't the most wonderful French fry you've ever had in your life.
Okay, I'll do that.
You're adventurous. You're culinarily mm-hmm. curious.
So did you see on MSNBC now that the count in Georgia is 49.5 to 49.3?
Yes.
By the way?
Yes. So, wow.
And like you said, Purdue now is down 49.9. And like you said, this could change the numbers for John Ossoff as well.
Well, and it could, but the one thing that we know for sure is that for at least the first few days of January, Mitch McConnell is not going to have a majority.
Nope.
Or may not.
He fucking he.
Oh, that, you know, it doesn't bother me in the least, the thought that maybe his blood pressure's up a little bit.
You know, I was like, and this is me being very unchristian about, you know, Mitch McConnell dying. But the problem is he'll just be replaced by the governor with another.
No, we went over that last night. The Democratic governor of Kentucky doesn't necessarily have to replace him with another Republican.
He's a Democrat. I forgot that he's a Democrat. I forgot that the governor of Kentucky is a Democrat. I'm thinking about the attorney general. Oh, my God. So now I'm back to wishing that he'll die.
You know, we all got to thinking about the Chinless Mitch's mortality when we saw those pictures of his black and blue hands, and the hematoma on his face, on his upper lip. Apparently, he fall down, go boom.
Somebody probably pushed his ass, and it wasn't me for that.
Oh, you're the eternal optimist, Tracy.
I have to do something. I mean, Scott's not here to help out, so you know, I have my faith that things will be better. And that I'm putting it out to the universe that the ancestors know what they're doing in this mess. And that we, I'm singing to myself, we shall overcome. But how much longer do we have to wait? I mean,
well, that's the thing. We don't get to wait. It's all faith without works is dead stuff. Got to get out there and work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of us are tired and. We've probably got a national case of PTSD at this point, but we got to push through it. Just got to push through it. Steve in New York, Mitch McConnell's BP says, the only problem is that a person has to have a heart to have any blood pressure. And remember, we did for a while there, we did have a vice president who didn't even have a pulse. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about a big time Dick Cheney before he dicks you.
Right.
Shorty in L.A., your neighbor, sort of, says, yeah, but why is Trump really there tonight to talk to his shit starting and instigating boys in Nevada? Haven't you guys heard anything about Trump's horrible code talking? This isn't a dry run, all these things are not dry runs. New crime goes on until the inauguration day. Okay, too funny. I spoke into the microphone to type inauguration day, and the voice to text typed Noggin Head Nation Day. Hey, Tracy, Herb Wesson got elected out. He was the brother in charge of City Hall in Los Angeles. Something's up because he's been helping out poor people, helping homeless people, and doing a lot of other things long before COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And in PA, our buddy Jug of Punch says 75,429 votes to tie in PA and 9,426 to go in Georgia. So, there's hope. There's hope.
Like I said, if we somehow can control the Senate, like you said, it was a 50-50 tie. And come on, like I woke up with that this morning, or went to bed with that last night, because I was like, and I wasn't sure because, you know, me in political science, but I'm like, wait a minute. Kamala Harris is the president of the Senate. And that means she could, if there's a tie, she could override that shit. And so it's like that, I, you know, and I actually slept pretty well last night because of that. I mean, I slept so hard last night or this morning that I didn't even feel or hear. Usually when Jan gets out of bed, I hear her get out of bed. I hear her, you know, doing stuff in the bathroom or whatever. But you could, you know how when you sleep, but you can still hear stuff, but it doesn't completely wake you up. You force yourself to say, I don't hear this because I'm going back. I'm not getting up yet. Not only did she get up, shower, got dressed and all that, she went out and she had to go to Kaiser to get a some blood drawn for some tests. And so I did not hear her again until when she came back into the room to wake me up. She's like, baby, don't you have class at 9:30? And I'm like, oh, fuck, what time is it? She's like, 9 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, wow. So, I mean, actually, that thought lulled me. I don't want to say a false sense of security because I'm hoping and wishing and praying. And wishing and hoping. No. You know, that this could come true. Because I think Kamala Harris.
You said Kamala.
I said Kamala.
Yeah, and you busted Darlene for it earlier, too.
Kamala. I said, oh, my God. Sorry, Darlene. I said I did it.
Or I'm sorry, Darlene busted you.
Yeah.
I got to find it here.
No, I busted Darlene.
No, Darlene busted you. Yeah, you did, but then she busted you back earlier. Gotcha, Tracy.
Right.
You just said Kamala, LOL, love you.
Now I got to stop because it's just overexciting, you know, because, see, I think that part, Bob, would be worse for McConnell than losing the election. To have a black woman bitch slap him on a regular basis would just, but then again, he might like it.
The cracker, the cracker ass senator from Kentucky will please sit the fuck down.
Wouldn't that just be fucking awesome, dude? Totally.
Yeah, but God Almighty, if it should turn out to be a 50-50 Senate, then she's just going to have to be on permanent duty in the Senate. And, you know, it's not like the vice president has that much to do anyway.
Mm-mm.
And she could just break with tradition and perpetually be the president of the Senate.
Yeah, just sit there and chill. It's like, just have her own little op, you know, so I'm just going to be here. Because y'all motherfuckers don't know what to do. So this is what's going to happen. Oh, my God. Like I said, that was, no wonder I slept so well last night. Because that's actually what I went to bed thinking about last night. Because, you know, a girl, as I'm sitting here, okay, so I'm still, you know, we have a shit ton of Halloween candy left over. So I just finished the bite-sized Snickers. Now I'm on dark chocolate Milky Way.
Ooh.
And I don't, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, have you, speaking of which, have you seen those dark chocolate Reese's Thins?
Yeah, I have some.
They're not as thick as a regular Reese's cup. They're oh my God.
Mm-mm. They're wonderful.
Oh, and the Cella's chocolate covered cherries have come onto the market for the holiday season. But I can't find anything but the milk chocolate.
See, I'm not a big dark chocolate, even though I'm more pinned to my color of milk chocolate. Jan loves dark chocolate, which, of course, why not? Of course she does.
Well, holiday season, I love those dark. I do love those dark chocolate oranges. You know, the ones where you kind of bash them on the table and they fall apart in slices.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, And we are approaching the holiday season, and it's just so freaky weird. I mean, my brother just moved into this gorgeous new house in Pasadena with, it's like 5 bedrooms, and they have a pool and this kitchen that I am just dying to get in to cook. And I'm like, but I'm not going to anybody's house. I mean,
you nope,
know,
not now.
By all... Mm-mm.
No how.
No. No way, no how. Even though, you know, okay, you start screaming. So we have a trip planned to Vegas, and I don't think we're going to go because I'm really nervous about the. Now, what is it? Is it Nevada or Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada. Okay, that's, I've always said Nevada. And is it Colorado or Colorado?
Years and years ago, someone I knew was out there in the Air Force and said, it's Colorado.
Right. I always say Colorado, but, you know.
Well, I think you know, I mean, it's a Spanish word, and
right,
I don't think there's an ah sound made with an A in Spanish, is there?
No.
I mean, I don't speak it, but being a Latin language or a Romance language, there's no ah in Latin either. Well, yeah, there kind of is. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
By
the way, Steve says, you know what would be really funny? If Vice President Harris's nickname for Mitch is Ritz.
Ritz cracker. Lord Jesus. You got to give him a cowbell.
That's a cowbell for Steve, definitely.
What I love about our family is that we are some intelligent,
quick,
funny as fuck people.
Yep.
Quick. I mean, it's just that.
Oh, here he comes. You know, here he comes. This ought to be good.
No,
oh, dear
really?
God. Stand by, Tracy.
Thank
you. Good evening. I'd like to provide the American people with an update on our efforts to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election. If you count the legal votes, I easily win.
Told you.
If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly, but a lot of votes came in late. I've already decisively won many critical states, including massive victories in Florida, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio. To name just a few, we won these and many other victories despite historic election interference from big media, big money, and big tech. As everybody saw, we won by historic numbers. And the pollsters got it knowingly wrong. They got it knowingly wrong. We had polls that were so ridiculous, and everybody knew it at the time. There was no blue wave that they predicted. They thought there was going to be a big blue wave. That was false. It was done for suppression reasons, but instead there was a big red wave, and it's been properly acknowledged actually by the media. They were, I think, very impressed, but that was after the fact. That doesn't do us any good. We kept the Senate despite having twice as many seats to defend as Democrats, and in a really much more competitive states, we did a fantastic job with the Senate. I think we're very proud of what's
happened. He hasn't kept the
there.
Senate yet.
Many more seats to defend. They spent almost $200 million on Senate races in South Carolina and Kentucky alone, two races, and hundreds of millions of dollars overall against us. At the national level, our opponent's major donors were Wall Street bankers.
One thing, let's bear in mind, what he's doing right now is illegal as hell. He's using the White House to politic, but all the norms are gone.
Zero races in the House. I was talking to Kevin McCarthy today. He said he couldn't believe it. Zero races. Very unusual thing. Zero. And actually won many new seats with, I think, many more on the way. This was also the year of the Republican woman. More Republican women were elected to Congress than ever before. That's a great achievement. I won the largest share of non-white voters of any Republican in 60 years, including historic numbers of Latino, African-American, Asian-American, and Native American voters, the largest ever in our history. We grew our party by 4 million voters, the greatest turnout in Republican Party history. Democrats are the party of the big donors, the big media, the big tech, it seems, and Republicans have become the party of the American worker, and that's what's happened. And we're also, I believe, the party of inclusion. As everyone now recognizes, media polling was election interference in the truest sense of that word, by powerful special interests. These really phony polls, I have to call them phony polls, fake polls, were designed to keep our voters at home, create the illusion of momentum for Mr. Biden, and diminish Republicans' ability to raise funds. They were what's called suppression polls. Everyone knows that now. And it's never been used to the extent that it's been used on this last election. To highlight just a few examples, the day before election, Quinnipiac, which was wrong on every occasion that I know of, had Joe Biden up by 5 points in Florida, and they were off by 8.4 points, and I won Florida easily. Easily. So they had me losing Florida by a lot, and I ended up winning Florida by a lot. Other than that, they were very accurate. They had him up 4 points in Ohio, and they were up by 12.2 points. And I also won Ohio, great state of Ohio, very easily. And the Washington Post said Biden up 17 points in Wisconsin, and it was basically even. They were off by about 17 points, and they knew that. They're not stupid people. They knew that. Suppression. There are now only a few states yet to be decided in the presidential race. The voting apparatus of those states are run in all cases by Democrats. We were winning in all the key locations by a lot, actually, and then our numbers started miraculously getting whittled away in secret. And they wouldn't allow legally permissible observers. We went to court in a couple of instances, and we were able to get the observers put in. And when the observers got there, they wanted them 60, 70 feet away, 80 feet, 100 feet away, or outside the building to observe people inside the building. And we won a case, a big case, and we have others happening. There are lots of litigation.
Not mentioning the fact that he got bounced out of court in Georgia before the ink was even dry on the paperwork.
I predicted that. I've been talking about mail-in voting for a long time. It's really destroyed our system. It's a corrupt system, and it makes people corrupt even if they aren't by nature, but they become corrupt.
He voted by mail.
They want to find out how many the votes they need, and then they seem to be able to find them. They wait and wait, and then they find them. And you see that on election night.
Randy in PA just noted he's gone off script now, and that's where the trouble starts.
A lot, tremendous number of votes. And we're still ahead by a lot, but not as many, because they're finding ballots all of a sudden. Oh, we have some mail-in ballots. It's amazing how those mail-in ballots are so one-sided, too. I know that it's supposed to be to the advantage of the Democrats, but in all cases, they're so one-sided. We were up by nearly 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. I won Pennsylvania by a lot, and that gets whittled down to, I think they said now we're up by 90,000 votes, and they'll keep coming and coming and coming. They find them all over, and they don't want us to have any observers, although we won a court case. The judge said you have to have observers.
He's lying.
Likewise, in Georgia, and they're appealing. Actually, they're appealing. We want a case that we want people to watch, and we want observers, and they're actually appealing, which is sort of interesting. I wonder why that appeal, that all we want to do is have people watch as they do the vote tabulations. Likewise, in Georgia, I won by a lot, with a lead of over getting close to 300,000 votes on election night in Georgia. And by the way, got whittled down, and now it's getting to be to a point where I'll go from winning by a lot to perhaps being even down a little bit. In Georgia, a pipe burst in a faraway location, totally unrelated to the location of what was happening, and they stopped counting for 4 hours, and a lot of things happened. The election apparatus in Georgia is run by Democrats. We also had margins of 300,000 in Michigan. We're way up in Michigan, won the state. And in Wisconsin, we did likewise fantastically well. And that got whittled down. In every case, they got whittled down. Today, we're on track to win Arizona. We only need to carry, I guess, 55% of the remaining vote, 55% margins. And that's a margin that we've significantly exceeded. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're on track to do okay in Arizona. Our goal is to defend the integrity of the election. We'll not allow the corruption to steal such an important election, or any election for that matter. And we can't allow anybody to silence our voters and manufacture results. I've been doing a lot of public things for a long time. I've never had anything that's been as inspirational by people calling, talking, sending things to us. I've never...
Things. They sent such, things to him.
Such love and such affection and such spirit as I've seen for this. People know what's happening and they see what's happening and it's before their eyes. And there are many instances which will be reported very shortly. There's tremendous litigation going on. And this is a case where they're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election. And we can't let that happen. Detroit and Philadelphia, known as two of the most corrupt political places anywhere in our country, easily cannot be responsible for engineering the outcome of a presidential race, a very important presidential race. In Pennsylvania, Democrats have gone to the state Supreme Court to try and ban our election observers, and very strongly. Now, we won the case, but they're going forward. They don't want anybody in there. They don't want anybody watching them as they count the ballots. And I can't imagine why. There's absolutely no legitimate reason why they would not want to have people watching this process because of its raid.
Arnold says, I'm so nervous for the next 10 minutes. He's a fucking psycho. I don't think he would ever duck out, but we shall see. The fuck is he saying? They're still counting ballots that were legally mailed. Fuck him, I'm so tired of the ignorance. Well, everything, it's that ancient paradox. Everything he says is a lie.
To try and see, and there's been tremendous problems caused. They put paper on all of the windows so you can't see in, and the people that are banned are very unhappy and become somewhat violent. The 11th
Wait, binoculars?
That in Georgia, the votes have been in by election day, that they should be in by election day, and they weren't. Votes are coming in after election day, and they had a ruling already that you have to have the votes in by election day. To the best of my knowledge, votes should be in by election day, and they didn't do that. Democrat officials never believed they could win this election, honestly. I really believe that. That's why they did the mail-in ballots, where there's tremendous corruption and fraud going on. That's why they mailed out tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever. And I've told everybody that these things would happen because I've seen it happen. I watched a lot of different elections before they decided to go with this big, massive election with tens of millions of ballots going out to everybody, in many cases totally unsolicited. This was unprecedented in American history. This was by design, despite years of claiming to care about the election security. They refused to include any requirement to verify signatures, identities, or even determine whether they're eligible or ineligible to vote. People are walking in there. They have no idea. They're just taking numbers. They're writing down things, the workers, and doing a lot of bad things. And we have a lot of information coming and litigation that you'll see that will shake even you people up, and you've seen it all. The officials overseeing the counting in Pennsylvania and other key states are all part of a corrupt Democrat machine that you've written about, and for a long time you've been writing about the corrupt Democrat machine. I went to school there, and I know a lot about it. It hasn't changed. It's a long time ago and hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. In Pennsylvania, partisan Democrats have allowed ballots in the state to be received 3 days after the election. And we think much more than that. And they're counting those without even postmarks or any identification whatsoever. So you don't have postmarks, you don't have identification. There have been a number of
ballots that are just dropped off don't have postmarks.
Our campaign has been denied access to observe any counting in Detroit.
Now he's just repeating himself.
Another place, and I wouldn't say has the best reputation for election integrity. Poll workers in Michigan were duplicating ballots. But when our observers attempted to challenge the activity, those poll workers jumped in front of the volunteers to block their view so that they couldn't see what they were doing. And it became a little bit dangerous. One major hub for counting ballots in Detroit covered up the windows again with large pieces of cardboard. And so they wanted to protect and block the counting area. They didn't want anybody seeing the counting, even though these were observers who were legal observers that were supposed to be there. In Detroit, there were hours of unexplained delay in delivering many of the votes for counting. The final batch did not arrive until 4 in the morning, and even though the polls closed at 8 o'clock, so they brought it in, and the batches came in, and nobody knew where they came from. We've also been denied access to observe in critical places in Georgia. In multiple swing states, counting was halted for hours and hours on election night, with results withheld from major Democrat-run locations only to appear later. And they suddenly appeared, and they all had the name Biden on them, or just about all, I think almost all, they all had the name Biden on them, which is a little strange. I challenge Joe and every Democrat to clarify that they only want legal votes, because they talk about votes, and I think they should use the word legal, legal votes. We want every legal vote counted, and I want every legal vote counted. We want openness and transparency, no secret count.
But he wants to define what's legal.
No mystery ballots, no illegal votes being cast after Election Day. You have Election Day, and the laws are very strong on that. You have an Election Day. And they don't want votes cast after Election Day, and they want the process to be an honest one. It's so important. We want an honest election, and we want an honest count, and we want honest people working back there, because it's a very important job. So that's the way this country is going to win. That's the way the United States will win. And we think we will win the election very easily. We think there's going to be a lot of litigation, because we have so much evidence, so much proof, and it's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land. We'll see. But we think there'll be a lot of litigation, because we can't have an election stolen like this. And I tell you, I have been talking about this for many months with all of you, and I've said very strongly that mail-in ballots are going to end up being a disaster. Small elections were a disaster. Small, very easy to handle.
Grazier and a sprayed roach
were disastrous. This is a large-scale version, and it's getting worse and worse every day. We're hearing stories that are horror stories.
Even as he yammers,
and we can't let that happen.
Even as he yammers, David in South Carolina, Stan, lets me know that Georgia is now down to Trump 49.4 to Biden 49.3.
We can't be disgraced by having something like this happen. So it will be hopefully cleared up, maybe soon, I hope soon. But it'll probably go through a process, a legal process. And as you know, I've claimed certain states, and he's claiming states, and we can both claim the states. But ultimately, I have a feeling judges are going to have to rule.
But and there it is.
A lot of shenanigans, and we can't stand for that in our country. Thank you very much.
And he runs away. And I'm, my God, I've seen him shamble before, but he's moving really, really slowly. And that's it. No questions from the press, no nothing. It's just a series of grievances and lies. But I got a quote here that Sister Carol Baker made me aware of. Judge Cynthia Stevens, overseeing the lawsuit brought by the Death Yam to stop the Michigan count. You're asking for stuff that either can't be done, isn't required of anyone to do, wouldn't help your dude, and also nothing went wrong that you have any proof of. That is what you call a judicial smackdown. So are you still a nervous wreck, Tracy?
No, I've been, I'm looking at MSNBC and I have it on mute. And when I saw that his lead is down to a half a percentage point, I'm like,
yeah, the spread in Georgia, according to Steve, is now down to 3,635. And I would like some acknowledgement from Steve from Georgia, Stan, that I made that call correct.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And Matt in San Francisco points out we care so much about democracy, we pay those vote counters minimum wage, by golly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And Jude, meanwhile, says, I'm trying to find my sage bundle. Or Sarah Cooper could cleanse this too. Yeah, a little sage always helps.
A little sage, I might have to go break out my sage myself. But I was, you know, just the lies. When you were saying how these states are run by Democratic Georgia, last time I checked, they didn't have a Democratic legislature or whatever that would be, you know, in charge of the vote. Far from it. So it's like, dude, seriously? Is the Secretary of State of Georgia a Democrat? No.
Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx said, what the fuck? Is he drunk? He's rambling on like some deranged dude you try to avoid on the subway.
Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. I mean, and like you said, what he's doing, he's politicking from the White House. It's like, wait, you're not supposed to do that. It's so, this administration is so traitorous and treasonous that it's so hard to wrap, you know, because again, we are a group of thinking and very intelligent people. And so when we see and hear stuff like this, we're sitting there going, oh, really, these people are just that stupid that they believe this mess, that they've drank so much Kool-Aid. I mean, I have never known anybody to drink so much cyanide-laced Kool-Aid in my life. And when, you know, and he is right that he got more support than he did in 2016, that just cements the fact that this country, we talked about this in class today, about how this country is going away from empathy because it's all about what I'm going to get from this. You know, nobody is thinking, it's like, you know, about, you know, LGBTQI rights or, you know, minority rights, black people's rights, or, you know, because if it doesn't directly affect them, well, I don't care.
Right.
And this is what's missing in this country. It's like, if it doesn't directly affect me, why should I give a fuck? Why should I, you know, people talk about voting their conscience, but you have to have a conscience in order to vote it. And
ooh,
there's
wait.
No way that you can tell me.
That's an unfunny cowbell.
Oh, yeah. You know, you have to have a conscience. You have to have empathy. You have to care about other people. You have to be willing to lose your comfort. You have to be willing to say, this is wrong. And by me, and I know it's wrong, and I'm going to speak out against this wrong, even if I'm going to lose something. These people, nobody is willing to lose their privilege. Nobody is willing to lose their power. And so now we're sitting here, I mean, by right, this election, just forget, take race out of the equation and LGBTQ rights out of the equation and just common decency. Just let's see what the fact that how many Americans have died because of COVID, because of the inaction of this president. How many people like me are not working? And when they took that $600 a week away, is forcing more people into poverty. And even with that, you know, these are facts. people still voted for him more than they did in 2016. So what is that saying about our country, Bob?
It says that we got a lot of bad people in this country. And that's one of the most painful things to take into account. Just how many bad people we have. I mean, some of them may not actually pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, but they're bad people.
But they're bad people.
I mean, Robert E. Lee was a bad person. John Bell Hood was a bad person. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a bad person. Thomas Stonewall Jackson was a bad person. Jefferson Davis was a bad person. Just because they knew how to use a knife and fork doesn't make it any less so. Now, what's interesting, as David in South Carolina Stan pointed out, notice that the places that he said were doing criminal election law violations, Philly, Detroit, Atlanta.
Yeah, Detroit. Atlanta is full of black people.
Bingo.
I need to bring that up as well.
Yeah.
So if, you know.
Now, this is interesting. Billable Rick says, the New York Times reports that Erie County, PA, a bellwether county that voted for Trump in 2016, just flipped to Biden. Trump's lead in Pennsylvania is now less than 74,000. And what he wants people to think is that because votes are still being counted, they were cast late. They weren't. But the maggots are that mean and that willfully stupid. But back to Georgia. Interesting the ballots that remain outstanding. Fulton County, where Atlanta is, has 7,305 outstanding. Chatham County, where Savannah is, has 17,157 outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Savannah's
there's only a 3,635 vote difference between Biden and in Georgia.
Now, what's interesting is there's 4,713 still outstanding in Forsyth County. And that's where in the late 80s, when I was at CNN and Malloy went there, too, that's where there was a march and countermarch against the Klan, because as recently as the late 80s, Forsyth County, Georgia, was a sundown county.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know that we necessarily get any answers. It was just a session for airing grievances and to try to create the bullshit propaganda and along the way, tap dancing all over the laws of the United States of America because he was doing politics from inside the White House. But that's another one of those norms that went by the wayside. It's now down to 64,000 in PA. They're falling almost precipitously. And Lou asked a few minutes ago, do you think we have more bad people on average in the U.S. than other countries, or is it the culture and or the version of capitalism we endure? Or it is something that began, and I used West Virginia as the example last night. This state was reliably Democratic because this state had endured Republican governance and had paid a terrible price for it. And with the arrival of unions and decent livings and a little bit of protection for workers in the workplace, West Virginians understood that that all of that could go away in a minute if they ever let the Republicans have power again. And then the generation that made that realization died off. And their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are voting now. And they have been they have been brainwashed by right-wing talk radio, brainwashed by Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. The preachers routinely politic from the pulpit. And if they have good inclinations, if they are decent in an ordinary way, and that exists here, you know, people give you the shirt off their back, stop on the side of the road, help you change a tire, whatever. It does not extend to their politics because all they know are slogans. All they know is we got to protect the unborn. All they know is Democrats going to get your guns. And so, again, it's like talking about it's like talking about Confederate officers. They had dear friends on the other side and fighting for the Union. But in the end, they committed to turning their backs on their own country and taking up arms against it. And so the equivalent of that now, Tracy, I think, is what happens when these asshole white wing white supremacists go marching around with their guns. They say they're defending the Constitution because they wised up. They don't want to be accused of being traitors or secessionists. But what they're arguing for is a return to a white supremacist America that we thought was dead and buried. And so to answer Lou's question, I think it's civics and history education. And I think it's a lack of understanding of what Republicans always really do to people. And Angelo sent me a link. I'll read it after the program. From Eudaimonia Magazine, this election is going to reveal who America really is by Umar Haq. The subheading is, the election isn't just about Trump, it's a referendum on America. And that is exactly what's happening. And by the way, I think he was dosed just now. He was so low and so sluggish. And David in South Carolina, Stan, pointed out, I think it's a Xanax night, waiting for Noel Kasler to confirm. Darlene heard him pronounce
Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac.
For Quinnipiac. He was wasted. Matt in San Francisco said, "Who let Grandpa out of the attic?" Exactly. And so he's sitting back in the Oval Office or the residence now, watching Fox News and freaking out. It drove Jude a little bit to distraction when he said the Republican Party is the party of inclusion.
Right.
Jude said, did they just vomit that out while the children sobbed for the mamas and papas from their broken families? Yes. Yes, Jude, he said that. And that's what
the last election was, for me, a referendum on this country. You know, even though Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, it was still the fact of the matter is people still voted for Trump, knowing exactly who he is.
Right. And that takes us back to what Hillary said. She said, about half of them I put in my bucket or my basket of deplorables. She said, about half of Trump's supporters are deplorable. And I think she may have been being generous, Tracy.
Yeah, she was. Because if it was only half, then he would have had less support this election. Am I right? Because, you know, me and you and math aren't that, you know,
yeah,
we're
right.
Not good with that.
Yeah.
But his support grew. He gained supporters. So not only were the people who voted for him in 2016, but then we got more. So, you know, there might have been a few people that, you know, who voted for him in 2016, who did not vote for him this in 2020. But the bottom line is he gained support. So there was even more deplorable. Because, yeah, it, you know, you could toy with the idea back in 2016. Oh, you know, he was just politicking, and it was just what he was saying.
Yeah, I loved it when the multimillionaires would say things like, well, you know, once he's president, he'll stop this and he'll become presidential and he'll bring the country together.
Right.
How'd that work out?
Right, exactly.
And then Heidi Prisbilla, who is with NBC News, you know, when he was saying, well,
they put paper in the windows and they said, you got to be like 60 feet away, 80 feet away. You got to be outside the building. We had to use binoculars.
Heidi Prisbilla tweeted, such a lie about Detroit. I was there. There were literally over 100 observers from each party. On the other hand, Brother Deacon Asa says, but he's right, though. They are the party of inclusion. They include the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Boys, your average unaffiliated crackers and other sundries. They also have neo-Nazis, white nationalists, current Klan members, even some former ones. So in a way, Trump's right. It's a big tent with a whites only sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're some random really dumb black guy who thinks that he's gonna make it to the top by being associated with him.
You guys know I'm taking black psychology this semester. And so there's different black psychologists. You know, there's the DSM, which is, you know, what European.
Right, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. I think fifth edition.
Right. It's the fifth edition. And then there's these black psychologists who are using the African worldview. So there's different disorders within, you know, so there's two that are that I will say these black people, especially these black men, are suffering from as far as, you know, voting for Trump. One is called alien self disorder, behavior contrary to their behavior to their nature and to their survival. Someone has alienated themselves from their people, not a strong member of the black community. They're achieving their class status. They only care about the class status of achieving materialistic goals and social affluence, in denial of any issues in terms of race or racism. Racism, slavery, and oppression never existed to them, acting with a Eurocentric mentality, adopt the oppressive, and by oppressive, I mean white people perspective. And this brings about anxiety, tension, and depression, and does not fit into society. Now, that's the alien self disorder. Then it's the anti-self disorder, overt and covert hostility toward a group of one's own origin by implications of toward oneself. They're anti-African-American, anti-black. They're negative. They fit into white society because of the extra step to be ignorant toward their own. And politicians that join any fraction to further their political careers, easily manipulated, and blind allegiance to the white community. How about that?
Isn't that a whole bunch of words for saying? Well, okay, that. I wasn't thinking. I was thinking about the phrase that begins with house and ends with.
Oh, yes. House ginger. I said it. There's a whole lot of words for that too, yes. But what's so hurtful is the fact that it's, you know, they're anti-black. The more
I think about the question of what about these black men voting for Trump and what about these Hispanic men voting for Trump, it's still a tiny minority, and they are not going to make the margin of victory for him if he wins.
No.
It's a horrible case of excuse making for white people. In 2016, mm-hmm. white women voted for him at 52%. This time through, it's white women at 55%. It went up 3%.
It went up 3%.
And so a 3% increase in white women, and yet that's not what's being talked about. It's fucking 50 Cent. 50 Cent, 50 I'm sorry. 50
Cent and Lil Wayne. 50. Yeah. 50. Get it right. Get it right. 50.
Yeah. So,
50 Cent and Lil Wayne. Yeah. And let's see, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Ice Cube.
Well, Ice Cube kind of repudiated it.
Well, it was too little too late. The fact that you even, and so the other day when I was listening to one of a eminent black scholar, and one of the things that he pointed out, and this is, you know, when you go to, if you want to really actually bring black people into the discussion, these politicians, instead of going to celebrities, they need to go to the people who are actually schooled in black studies. The people who are actually, this is what they do for a living.
Yeah, it's like it's like what I heard Jim Clyburn of South Carolina talking about when he was talking about the 1994 crime bill. He said the elders in the black community went to Congress and said, "Do something, damn it." And they were on board,
right?
With the 1994 crime bill. I mean, there's too much madness and too much lying to even cope with 99% of what he said. But Ron and Raleigh points out 50 Cent did walk it back.
Don't care.
I can't give you
absolution because you again, you know how when you know how black people think and how much influence you have as a black man, you're going to sway somebody, and especially if these people are early voters or anything like that. So when you play the game with the oppressor, again, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much position you think you're going to get or power or what have you, at the end of the fucking day, you're still a ginger. And again,
to go back to what I just said, an aspect of that, Tracy, is the fact that we're talking about this as though they're turning the election when it is almost numerically impossible.
Exactly. But the problem is, because in order for black people to be liberated in the struggle of the liberation struggle, we have to acknowledge that the fact that we have been brainwashed as a people. And until we, get rid of these shackles that are on our brains, is menticide. That's what some of the elders are calling. They call it menticide, where we have just gone, we're so entrenched in the ideal of white supremacy and how white supremacy has ruled over our lives since the first African got off a boat. We just don't know how to think. And even there are black psychologists who have, who basically have, they've gone to school, they've gone to Harvard, they've gone to Yale, but they still subscribe to the European way of thinking when it comes to the psychology of a black person. You cannot, especially when Freud fucking hated black people. Psychology has been used to the detriment of a lot of black people. And so how are you supposed to get better mentally if you're still subscribing to the European worldview of things? And so when we have people like 50 Cent and Lil Wayne and all these other, hustlers, and you know, especially when, for the lack of a better term, that we have no strong leaders in, you know, in the black community. Who? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, please.
No, the real strong leaders are young enough that they don't have meaningful quanta of power. And I'm thinking of people like D. Ray McKesson.
Right.
But he won a court case recently. But we don't. But we don't necessarily. And there are any number of brilliant African American men that you can see any given day. Ellie Mistal, that I see on MSNBC from time to time. And I mean, they do exist. But too often, whatever influence or power they have is too fragile, too tenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that one progressive black man on MSNBC? He got sat down in a timeout for referring to some African American women as what was it, the Mean Black Girls Caucus or something like that. His first name's Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know who
and they were sparkle ponies, the women he was talking about. And he was disciplined. And that, you know, and that matters when you're getting a check from the person doing the disciplining.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is there, but in the end, the real question, it's a hell of a lot less of a question, what about black men who support Trump, than why do so many white men and white women support him?
I mean, and therein lies the question.
And, you know,
they're not questioning that.
Come Monday, I'm hoping to have my buddy Ed Rabel on. And we're going to we won't be talking about the black men who support Trump. We're going to be talking about that eternal question of, you know, just how awful are too many people in this state that they can hear everything he says, that they could know every damn rotten thing he's done, and they're still going to vote for him. And not with a sense of resignation, but a sense of eagerness. I tell you what, Tracy, I've got a couple more calls I want to get in here, but I sure do appreciate you sitting with me and kind of figuratively holding my hand while we dealt with that madness.
Mm-hmm. Well, before and I just have one more thing to say before I go. Remember what you just said about, you know, why nobody's ever questioning why the white people are voting. So. For Trump. So this is a thing. This is another thing that I'm learning more in school about, you know, racism and stuff like that. When, especially when it comes to psychology toward black people. So it was a black person was considered insane for wanting to be free, for running away. That was, you know, it's amazing how my sanity as a black person is always called into question when I'm, you know, bucking the system, or any black person that's bucking the system, wanting to be free, wanting to be liberated. But no one ever calls into question the sanity of a group of people that held a non-hostile people as slaves. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, on a mainstream basis, I think you're absolutely right.
That has never been called the sanity or the mental health of the people who held my ancestors in slavery, in a non-hostile group of people who never fought against these people, but you held them in slavery. And not one time does like you said, the mainstream psychology called their mental health into question. Ponder that. It'll be that, Batman. And on that note,
on that happy note, yeah, because, God, there is a question to be asked along those lines. And, you know, the other thing that exists and could be part of this, I think within the DSM-5, since you mentioned it earlier, there is a diagnosis on one of the axes called shared psychotic disorder.
Yes.
And I would posit the possibility that something around 48% of this country has diagnosable shared psychotic disorder that arises out of their almost mindless devotion to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, you can take, I mean, you see the interviews with them, and they say, well, why do you support Trump? Well, he's going to build the wall. Or why do you support Trump? Because we got to protect our borders. Well, it's not like we weren't protecting our borders before. And anything that they say is the reason they support Trump can be refuted with almost no effort whatsoever.
Exactly. And the only time, and then to add to the mental health of white folks, the only time their mental health comes into question is when they do violence against black people, when they, you know, to justify, well, you know, obviously he had a mental health issue. But again, that's the only time their mental health is called into question.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I'm just wondering
how you treat people with shared psychotic disorder when they're measured in the millions. It's one thing to sort of snatch little Susie away from the Hare Krishnas or the Moonies and slowly go about the process of deprogramming her at a cabin in the mountains, or little Timmy. It's another thing to have to do it with 70 million people. And I think it's impossible.
So now I'm the fucking ray of sunshine. There you go. I am now. We have the shared thinking about, you know, because it's like you said, it's a psychosis, but not taking away from the fact that there's an underlying evil in this. Because I don't want people to think, well, they're mentally ill. No, some of these people are mental, yes. But a majority of these people are fully aware of what they're doing. And like you say, they relish in it, and they enjoy it. And they are...
It tickles their lizard brains.
It tickles their lizard brains. Their reptilian brains.
Their amygdalas.
And, yeah. So it's like it's scary and it's sad, but you know what? It might not happen. I just like there's these young people are coming out in force that are taking these people to task, and you know, so I still have hope in this. And the fact of the matter is, we again, Hillary Clinton won the election in 2016.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has the popular vote as well in 2020. So there are still some people in this country that are realizing what needs to be done, and we cannot give up the fight. We cannot do like we did in 2010 with Obama and turn tail and run. We cannot let this die. We have to keep fighting. Because we do have a chance in 2022 to rectify some of this shit, too. It is not over. And on that note, I know you got other people waiting. So love your face. Be well. Be good. And hopefully tomorrow, if I'm not buried with homework, I'll be on the front porch.
I hope you will. Love you bunches. And, you know, thanks for, again, thanks for helping me cope with what I think is a very obvious little dose of PTSD that I know I'm getting. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not too proud to say it.
I'm not too proud.
Yeah. Well, darn.
Like, remember, I was in my pajamas all day, so that's that part.
Well, I was actually going to go to the stress line, but somebody just hung up. But Tracy, you have a good night, and you know, don't feel bad about those PJs.
I'm not, because they're comfy, they're flannel, so I'm cool.
All right, my love.
Later.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver. And look, I hate even talking about it, but we got $145 to go on Yuki's day after the day after the election challenge. And it would be great to take a bite out of that. Steve and Ms. Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy, took a bite out of it in appreciation of my prognostication, which turned out to be correct. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, little Cletus and little Twiggy. But it would be great to see this challenge met because Yuki was kind enough to put it on the table. Okay, let's go back and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Bob. I was so hoping you would put me on with Tracy because I wanted to help calm her down and reassure her. You know, I see what Trump doesn't get, and if he lived to be 400,000 years old, shuffling around, he would never get it, and many of his supporters will never get it. What the bare minimum that any of us on this side want is for Tracy to have a good night's sleep every night, a sleep unencumbered with the matters of the day, and to wake up each morning knowing that her waking hours will be just as sweet as her sleeping hours. And that this is going to be just a regular thing, just the ordinary course of things. It's not a big ask that we're putting out there. And just because Tracy has a good night's sleep, that shouldn't deprive anybody else on the planet of also having a good night's sleep. But where the problem comes in and where the thing breaks down is that thing that I've said for a long time about human beings and the way that we are all wired. We're wired to be right and look good by making others bad and wrong. And it's the thing that drives us. Look throughout history. If you get down to the nitty and the gritty, it's always a case of being right and looking good by making somebody else bad and wrong. And we've got to step out of that dynamic, try as we might to do it. And we're not going to get to do it every time, but we have to at least attempt it. It's like those old Warner Brothers cartoons in the barnyard with the dog and the cat fighting and the big cloud of dust and the moon and stars and the lightning bolts flying off in every direction. And at one point, either the dog or the cat will jump out of the fray and watch the other one going round and round and round and round with whatever creatures are stirring in his or her
own
mind.
I know it well, yes.
It's just crazy-making. It's crazy-making, and they don't get it. I don't want to deprive anybody of their sleep or their centeredness or their happiness, but I sure as fuck don't want it to come at my expense or your expense or Trace's expense. Just because we are maintaining doesn't mean that it occurs at the expense of somebody else. And they just don't get what is possible in this meager, flawed human condition if we would just be aware of what the fucking deal is. Am I far off at all by thinking this?
No.
This is what I wanted to talk with Tracy about, to find out if this crazy old white man was as crazy and old as I sometimes think I am, because how can I get it? And so many around me, they don't have the first fucking clue. They wouldn't know where to buy or rent to own a clue. It's just maddening sometimes, Bob.
Well, it is. It is. But, well, I think...
And by the way, I say all this at the risk of mansplaining. And what's even worse, white mansplaining. I'm just trying to convey that I know what the deal is. Hopefully I'm one of the good guys, you know, and Tracy, shit, she don't need me to explain this. She knows it better than I do. Cause she has to live it in ways that I would never imagine. But there's still a resonance. And you go, Tracy. You keep going. Wear those flannel jammies. You be as comfortable as you can and sleep as well as you can. And I'm pulling for you. You know, and a lot of the Horn family is too. I'm sorry. I get on a tear sometimes, and I don't really mean to.
Well, that's quite all right. It's part of what we're all doing, trying to understand all of this. And all of this comes as, for instance, we've had another day of 100,000 new cases. And the funny thing is, and it's not funny at all, the ironic thing is that Anthony Fauci predicted this like back in May, maybe, March?
Yeah. It was readily apparent, or as we said in the old days, we hold this reality to be self-evident, but only to the people who will open their eyes to observe it. You don't even have to know anything to observe and acknowledge reality. God damn, somebody come in here and pat my hand a while.
Well, I understand. And, you know, I think these sorts of conversations are happening all over the country among Democrats, progressives, moderates, you know, whatever. Because we're all trying to understand how our ideas of what the country is can be at such divergence from the reality that we seem to be forced to witness every time election season comes around, especially presidential elections.
It brings out the worst in many.
I mean, apparently, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a telephone conference call among House Democrats, the contents of which has been leaked, in which House Democrats sniped and snarked at each other with Representative Spanberger of Virginia saying, don't anybody ever say the word socialism again, because in 2022 we will get our fucking heads handed to us. And of course, that kind of jives with what I've said here. It's just messaging. Say FDR Democrat. And that'll get you a hell of a lot further than talking about being a red rose carrying democratic socialist in a whole bunch of this country. I mean, but the other side of that is a first term member of the House from New Mexico, Xochitl Torres Small. We were in her office trying to get her support for the AIC Act. But she was a moderate, and she won in a squeaker over a woman named Yvette Harrell in 2018 because she campaigned as a moderate. Had she campaigned as some sort of progressive in the mold of the squad, She never would have had the one term she had. So Yvette Harrell came along in a maggot district and ran as one of those people who will put her head so far up Donald Trump's ass that when he yawns, you can see her smiling face. And she won. There were six other Democrats who lost, and so the tendency has been to engage in some navel gazing with knives out.
Now the woman in New Mexico, I believe you said it was, who won in the House, she was a Democrat. Is that right? A moderate Democrat, so-called?
Yeah, she was a moderate Democrat who was elected in 2018 and lost in 2020.
Well, let's look more closely at that as you've begun to describe it. The machinations and the flaming hoops that she had to jump through in order to prevail in that election back when it happened. The problem is, if you run scared, then in a way you boxed yourself in to serve scared. And that doesn't work ultimately, does it? We can't be timid about this. Sure, let's be reasonable and logical and well thought out, but let's not be timid about this. We have to say who we are. We have to be who we are in the most authentic way possible. And if we can't convince some on the other side to see our point and move along with us toward a common basic goal about something that needs to be done or undone, then that person on the other side needs to get run against and voted out. But I get what you're saying about if she had run in a reasonable, authentic way, she'd still be sitting home tonight, you know, wondering what's for dinner or something. You know,
but again, this all goes back, Scott, to my argument that you've got to win. You've got to run a campaign to win in the place you are. And I guess what Abigail Spanberger was getting at, and by the way, this doesn't make me a moderate. I'm not. I'm further to the left than probably 99% of the people who call themselves progressive. But I like winning, and I like holding power, because that means you get to do shit. But, you know, there are valid arguments on both sides. When Abigail Spanberger spoke out against bruiting the word socialist about, Rashida Tlaib responded, they called Obama worse, they called him a Muslim, a socialist, you can blame these words, but if it wasn't on Black Lives Matter, it would have been something else. And that's true. There will never be a day when any given Democrat running for office will not be branded by the Republicans as the most liberal candidate for this here office since Ted Kennedy. Okay? No. Yeah, you know that and I know that.
Yeah, I know.
So there's absolute validity to that. But the problem in the modern modern electoral process is that stuff that gets said by someone in an absolutely safe district in Minnesota or Michigan, Massachusetts or New York. Well, Nitwit Nero was, he campaigned in Minnesota, asking a bunch of people who weren't even in her district.
And that Ilhan Omar, she hates our country.
Well, it's her country too, motherfucker. She's a citizen. That's why she's a member of the House.
Yeah.
But it gets beamed all over the country, and Emery and Marvelline are sitting down there in their matching Barca loungers in Busted Knuckle, Alabama. Say, you hear that? Yeah, Ilhan Omar, she's a socialist. I bet you that fella, that woman is running against our good, God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-violent, homosexual, Republican member of Congress. I bet she's a socialist, too, and just won't say it out loud. Now, am I saying we need to formulate our election strategies according to Emery and Marvelline? No, but you by God better take into account that that there's outreach via the electronic media that reaches them. They don't know shit from Shinola about civics. They wouldn't understand the Constitution if you brought back dead James Madison to explain it to them. They only know what the preacher told them and what they get off Fox News.
Well, listen, I'm with you to this extent, in terms of, I hate to even use the word moderating our voices, because this Representative Spanberger is her name in Virginia?
Abigail Spanberger, yeah.
See, the problem with that, when she's talking about, you know, let's never let the word liberal or socialism fall forth from our lips ever again, when she says that, I hear Archie Bunker telling Edith to stifle, you know, maybe it's just the way.
Well, apparently this call got hot. And
this
and Nancy Pelosi jumped in and said, no, you got a problem, you come to me. You don't take it out sniping at each other on social media.
Well, good for her. That's the wise way. See, that's a sign of leadership.
But Donna Shalala lost in Florida. Debbie Mucarcel Powell lost in Florida. We lost a seat in North Carolina, lost one in Iowa, lost a seat in New Mexico. And so naturally people are having a conniption in the House. But we've still got the majority. It's not like we lost the majority. It's not like Kevin McCarthy, that weird-ass freak, is going to get the gavel.
Yeah.
And the long knives are, and most definitely on the more progressive side of the aisle, or in the more progressive section of our side of the aisle, the long knives are apparently out for Nancy Pelosi. Now, who they want to make speaker, I don't know. But some of the people who are next in line, well, Scott, I call it the Yasser Arafat effect. The Israelis bitched and pissed and moaned about Yasser Arafat.
Yeah.
And the PLO, and they engaged in machinations. You use the word too, to get rid of him and to weaken the PLO. And you know who they got? Hezbollah.
Yeah.
And guess
it's
what?
That old adage. And be careful what you wish for.
Right. And they're a lot worse than. And there, I imagine many are the Israelis who rue the day that they ever worked to get rid of. Because Yasser Arafat was whatever you want to say about him. I mean, I support Palestinian statehood. But whatever he was to the Israelis. What came after was a shit ton worse.
Oh, yeah.
At least for the Israelis. And the same thing happens here. I don't know who people want to see be speaker, but I got a feeling that the people who are being groomed in line behind Nancy ain't them.
Well, who was she up against for speaker? The last time they chose
that guy who ran briefly for president from Ohio.
Tim, yeah, I know who. I can't call his name, Tim something,
and you know he got slapped down a rat hole. And he wasn't exactly a shining beacon of progressivism either. By the way, Tracy heard what you said.
Oh, good. I was hoping
love your face, Scott.
Well, it's a lovely face.
To my dearest Love Muffin, thank you for being an ally in the fight for equality, equity, and inclusion. I love your energy, and I just wish there were more old white men like you.
God damn, I'm a Love Muffin at my age. Imagine that.
Leave it alone. Thank you, Jason. Leave it alone, Scott. I knew I was wrong as I was saying it. Not Hezbollah, that's Lebanon, but Hamas in Israel.
Hamas, yeah. Tracy, I'm going to be able to get my Arthur Bryant barbecue sauce ball cap on tonight because you've given me a bigger head than I had. But thank you. I love it. I'll take it. I'll take that.
Trey just messaged me on Twitter saying that Biden is within 4,000 votes in Georgia now.
It's anything to make Trump bounce around like a rat in a tin shithouse. That's my goal. I want to frantic that bastard right up, you know?
Yeah. I got some thank yous to send out. Thank you to Jug of Punch. And thank you very kindly to Jeremy Not in Vermont. And thanks a ton to Ralps. So that is, we're down to 120 to go on Yuki's day after the election challenge. And yeah, it was Tim Ryan.
Tim Ryan, yeah. Well, Bob, all I know is what I hear, and what I've been hearing these last couple of days is we're going to have a Democrat in the White House and a strong black woman as vice president and a majority in the House. And maybe if the fates are with us after runoffs are complete after the first of the year, we might eke out a little teeny tiny majority in the United States Senate and they can put old Mitch back up in the windowsill so he can do his rotting banana act and just get black.
Yeah, they'd never
black him up all over, and I don't mean that in a good way.
No,
if you get what I mean. Purple that some bitch up.
I don't think he's allowed out in the sunlight.
Probably not. He'd burst into fucking flame, and it'll be what it'll do. Get the weenies and the marshmallows, kids. Mitch is coming out in the sun. All right, Bob. I see by the old clock on the wall that we have done it again. We have made it successfully and succinctly through another horn round table. Or square table, or whatever this table. Well, where the table's gone. What have they done with the table? We figured out the shape of the motherfucker, and now they done repossessed the table. What are we going to do, Bob? Anyway, I hate long goodbyes, so I love you and Horn family.
All right.
Especially Tracy. I want to give Tracy a hug if we ever cross in 3D. Just give that girl the biggest old hug she's had from a crazy old white man ever.
You don't make it sound so terribly appealing, Scott. I mean, just easy there. Easy there, champ.
All right, Bob, I try. God damn, I don't get out much.
But, I mean, some of this shit's creepy. I mean, Don Jr.'s out there calling for total war. That's a quote.
Oh, God. Yeah, see, I laugh, but God damn. He's got a platform, and he's got a constituency. Such as they are.
Oh, and you got it.
Crazy motherfuckers out there. I don't need to tell you that.
You just got a cowbell from Billable Rick for Mitch's Rotten Banana Act.
There you go.
And thank you to Jude Women Standing, who just took us down to 110.
All right.
On Yuki's day after the day after the election challenge. So, we'll see where things take us, but
got to keep the flag flying over the radio outpost, kids. Come on,
yeah,
you can do it. You can do it. A couple of bucks here, a couple of bucks there, and we got it done.
Here. Well, I guess I'll sign off, do the upload, and then Agnes and I will watch whatever passes for the returns. Scott, hang in there, buddy.
As for returns, let's have many happy ones in the next day or two.
Indeed, indeed.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, later. Our buddy Scott in San Diego. And here we find ourselves at the end of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. I hope a bunch of folks will chime in. I think we've got a heck of a conversation coming. At least I hope we do. We usually do. Thanks to everybody who's jumped in on Yuki's challenge. Much appreciated. And, we'll see what tomorrow brings. Because we finished with all the voting, but we haven't finished the counting, the former rules still apply. No matter how weird yesterday was, today was weirder. And no matter how weird today was, tomorrow is going to be weirder still. We're in the process of watching the full-on meltdown of the drug-addled, intellectually damaged thing that occupies the White House. Hiding there, shivering and shaking like a dog trying to pass a peach pit behind his Kremlin-esque walls. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much. This program exists because of you. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers, all of our PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors and everybody who, some of you do one or two or all, some combination of the three. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to your comments through the course of the program. Thank you so very much. Thank you for your calls. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Ben's been right nervous lately, and we're just trying to keep him in a good frame of mind. Love you, Ben. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, stay home. This thing's roaring up and looks to be a real booger going into the worst of the winter. If you can't stay home, take every safety precaution you can. Wear your mask, wear your gloves, don't touch your face, wash your hands frequently, use hand sanitizer when you can't get to somewhere to wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer with you, maintain your social distance. 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, just like Paul from Parts Unknown has told you. And if somebody comes at you hacking and puking and talking about how fornication causes the Rona, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all.